Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us. Let's talk a little bit about teleportation when we come back, and then we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Bruce, remember that case we were talking about where a Manhattan cab driver hit a guy who was dressed in 1800-year
yes,
garb?
Yeah, the mutton chucks.
Yeah, and then the cabbie said he just, like, appeared. And
Rudolph Fence was his name. This was like 1950 in New York City. The man, when he was killed by, not by teleportation, but by the cab driver.
Okay? That's right.
Let's correct that, okay? So the man, when they did his research, they found some articles on his clothing. He had some receipts from going to a general store in Kansas in 1876. He went out to dinner one night, and there was documentation of this man, apparently. He went out to dinner one night and never came back. So he went from 1876 to 1950, and he was killed by a New York cab driver, and he was dressed in the style of the 1870s, okay? So this guy stood out, even in New York City, and Times Square, like a sore thumb. But that's teleportation. Before we discuss, I want to discuss some teleportation cases here. I just want to make one other compliment or comment to you. I get a lot of responses from your Beyond Belief shows. I've done three shows with you, George. It's always been a pleasure.
Well, they live on forever, don't they?
They do, and I took you in a couple of past lives, or one past life and one future life, the last time we did it, right? I get a lot of private patients from that, and people really do like it. And, I've been on some of the other Geiger shows, but yours is the one that gets the most attention. So I just wanted to share that I love reincarnating with you with that experience there.
It's a fun show.
It's always nice to wear a suit when I talk with you, too. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about what teleportation actually feels like.
Okay.
This is an actual quote from one of my patients who actually went through the experience and was able to document his own teleportation. A quote. It was as though something twisted my body. It felt as like I was caught in a giant web. Suddenly, the world exploded into countless billions of glowing threads. The overall effect was very similar to looking at a hologram, except it was visceral as well as visual. You could see/feel the image. Part of me was totally confused. Another part of me was completely familiar with whatever that was. There was a very odd sense of my consciousness being split. Two contradictory thoughts were present in my mind simultaneously. Now, I've done teleportation myself, and yes, that is an accurate description of it. It sounds a little strange. It really isn't as odd when you actually experience it. So let's talk about Vivian. Vivian, I worked with her with out-of-body experience and teleportation training techniques, and one afternoon she was in her car with her physically abusive boyfriend. They got into an argument on the California freeway here. Her boyfriend threw open the passenger door, pushed her out of the car into incoming traffic.
Ugh.
Vivian twisted her ankle and could not run, but she remembered the post-hypnotic suggestion technique that I did in my office, and all she could think of was a car coming at her about 80 miles an hour. She entered into hypnosis quickly, used the post-hypnotic suggestion, and the next thing she knew, she was in her living room, and the car that slammed the brake thinking he was going to hit her simply passed right through her.
Wow.
She was observed by both the driver of that car as well as her idiot boyfriend to disappear. She came back to her living room. She had a twisted ankle, and this is an example of teleportation that saved her life. Now, fortunately, she was able to break up with her boyfriend, and she later met a Mr. Right. So this does have a happy ending. But that's an example of teleportation. But here's a very famous case that was reported by my dear friend Brad Steiger.
I miss him.
You know, isn't he great? What a soul, okay? All right. The man's name is Charles W. Ingersoll. Interesting enough, that's the same name of the attorney from, we talked about, but this is his last name. Charles W. Ingersoll of Cloquet, Minnesota, wanted to go to the Grand Canyon in 1948 on a holiday, but he couldn't do it. He was a businessman, and he just couldn't get away. So now he just said to himself, I really want to go to the Grand Canyon. So he sent an image, a doppelganger, so to speak, kind of thing for there, okay? So now we fast forward to 1955. He finally has the chance to make the trip. He decides to take his new Bosley 35mm slide camera, remember, this is 1955, okay, and to go to the Grand Canyon, which he does. Now, after he returns home, he decides to go to his local photography store to get his film developed, of course. But then, you know how they used to have these castle films? You could buy these little 8mm films,
yeah,
like travel logs, okay? So he sees one for the Grand Canyon. So he figures, hey, I just was there. Let me see the travel log. So he buys this film. It's copyrighted 1948 by Castle Films. Now, you know the hard-nosed rule of copyright. When it's copyrighted, that's when it was produced, right?
That's right.
He looks at the film home in his little, like, you know, little projector, right? Goes home. He sees himself leaning over the edge of the Grand Canyon with his 1955 Bosley 35mm slide camera that was made in 1955. So what happened? The answer was he teleported back from 1955 to 1948 with his camera when they were being filmed for the Castle Film travelogue. This is entering a breach in the fabric of space-time. So this is an example of teleportation, very well documented by my good old buddy Brad.
I had a call once on open lines, Bruce, much like the lady who was pushed out of her car. The couple was driving in a car, and they saw another car coming at them head-on. Mm-hmm. They knew they were going to get hit. In their fear, they closed their eyes, and nothing has happened. They open their eyes, and that car that was going to hit them is now behind them, and they're continuing forward. Nothing happened. How do you explain that?
Well, that was a fifth-dimensional experience. She was an ultra-terrestrial. This is probably guided by her spirit guide or maybe her higher self. What she did was she entered the fifth dimension. The car, of course, does not enter the fifth dimension, so the car sped right through her, and then she returned to the third dimension, Earth plane that we're on now. And that's why the car missed her, and that's why she survived. By the way, one of your listeners several years ago, a woman in Las Vegas, I just love this. She called me. She goes, Doctor, I use your techniques, and I don't know what happened. I think I had an out-of-body experience. I came from Las Vegas. You know, she didn't drive anywhere. She's in her home, and she finds herself in the Los Angeles County Museum in downtown Los Angeles here, right? You know, Wilshire Boulevard area. The mid-Wilshire area, and she goes, I was there at night, and it was like, it was after it was closed, and I was standing on the floor, I don't know what's going on. Was that an OBE? And I said, tell me, did you have your shoes on? She goes, no, I was barefoot, because she was barefoot in her home. I said, did you feel the cold floor? And she goes, yeah. And I said, that's a teleportation. You were there.
Physically there. First-time caller.
Immediately went back to her place in Las Vegas. Immediately she, you know, disappeared, so to speak, and went back there. So that's an example of teleportation, and it's not as uncommon as you think. The most common places where teleportation occurs spontaneously is Argentina and England for some reason.
That's weird. Let's go to the calls. Lisa in Pennsylvania, first-time caller. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
You are on with Dr. Goldberg.
I astral project. Now, when my mother passed away, I could see her sitting on my bed, and my husband's like, she's not there. And, like, I made these two cups of tea because that's what she drank at my house. And I'm like, can you do something, you know, so that he knows you're here? And, like, his blankets got ripped off of him. I said, you believe me now?
Well, you know, what you did was you saw an astral body. It was your departed relative was on the astral plane, and you entered into a altered state of consciousness, your own hypnotic level, because you were thinking of her, and I'm sure you had loving energy for that. And you actually perceived, you were now using your fifth-dimensional senses, not just three-dimensional senses, and that's why you could see the spirit body of your relative there. So that was an example of you entering into the fifth dimension without using any magical techniques, doing this spontaneously, probably guided by your higher self or your spirit guides.
Bruce, is there a sixth dimension, a seventh dimension?
Well, technically, if you go back into the quantum physics, there's a whole bunch of dimensions. We just call them the fifth dimension. It depends on how the string theory depends on whether they move clockwise or counterclockwise. But there's basically, they say, as many as 25 or more dimensions. But basically, let's just keep it simple and say fifth dimension, because all these other dimensions are really run on the same principles. Once you're in the fifth dimension, of course, you can teleport, you can fly, you can out-of-body experience, you can read people's minds, you can do all these things that you can't do on the Earth plane. Remember, we live in a fifth-dimensional universe. We can only see three dimensions with our eyes unless you enter into a hypnotic level. But we live in the fifth dimension. The fourth dimension, of course, is time. Okay? Anything beyond time is the fifth dimension, which includes parallel universes, as well as the astral, causal, mental, etheric, and soul plane, and the higher planes. Those are all part of the fifth dimension.
Ed in Colorado, welcome to the program, Ed.
Yes, George, I just want to say you are the peace in the storm. You are.
Thank you.
Amen.
Right.
I want to talk to Bruce real quick.
Okay, you
Bruce,
got him.
A question I have is about bilocation.
Bilocation is actually when you actually are doing an out-of-body experience. Bilocation is when you're sending your astral body around the world or around the city, wherever you're going to. When people talk about a doppelganger, that's a bilocation. You can be two places at the same time.
Uh-huh.
One of them is your physical body. Another is your astral. So let me give you a good example of bilocation. Many years ago, back in the 60s, there was a gentleman, a doctor from New York City, and he was giving a talk to a medical group. And I've given talks to medical groups. They're a lot of fun. You get a nice dinner, you know, rubber chicken and plastic peas, you know. The problem was, at the exact moment he's giving that talk, he's giving the same talk in Toronto, Canada, got that, at another medical meeting. Obviously, he didn't split himself. It was his doppelganger.
And people actually think it's him, right?
Yes. And you know he was in Canada because he was out and about.
Out in the boots or something like that. Ed, thanks for your call. Appreciate
it. Very good call, though. Thank you. So bilocation is really an out-of-body experience is really the key to that question.
Carl in the Bronx in New York, of course. Hi, Carl. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, George, and thank you, Bruce, for taking my call.
Sure.
I have had an out-of-body experience when I was young. I was put under anesthesia, and I was in the ceiling of the operating room where the doctors were working on me. I had a nose fracture that they were.
Did they tell you that you clinically died at all during that time? Because that could have been a near-death experience.
Well, I didn't go through any tunnel or anything like that.
No, you don't have to. That's a core experience that Ray Moody, my old good dear friend, talks about, as well as others. But you don't have to go through the tunnel. Now, if you didn't have a near-death experience, it was simply a chemically induced hypnotic level. That's called a chemical or narco-hypnosis, we call that. Hmm. And you can do that and have an out-of-body experience by doing that. Now, if you were clinically dead, which means that the anesthesiologist would record that on the data that he has in front of him with the machines, if they said, oh, this guy flatlined for about 2 minutes, then that would have been a near-death experience. Most likely it wasn't. It sounds like it was just a regular out-of-body experience. By the way, Carl, just so you know, you're from the Bronx. I was born in the Bronx, okay? So I have a positive attitude towards that borough, and the Yankees won tonight, just so you know, okay?
Well, they're happy because here's Joe in the Bronx. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yes, hi. How are you, George?
Wonderful. Thank you.
What's up, Joe?
Hi, Bruce. I wanted to ask you, what is the soul? What is it comprised of?
Okay, it's electromagnetic.
Where does the soul reside?
When you think of, like, when you're on a computer or listening to this radio show or watching TV, these are all examples of electromagnetic radiation. It's harmless radiation, so you're not going to be turning red because of that. So what the soul is electromagnetic radiation, just like a TV signal or a computer. Some people think it's actually astral matter, but it really isn't. It's energy. It's pure energy. So it's like a TV signal. So when I train people to go into parallel universes, it's like changing the channel on the TV set. If you change your channel, the signal that you were watching, which you're not, is still going on. Your soul is electromagnetic radiation, which registers neurologically as an alpha brainwave. Remember, a brainwave energy on the electroencephalograph. So that's what the soul is.
And, you know, when people say that there's a hell, is there really a hell there,
no,
Bruce?
No, there is no hell. This is propagated by religion to scare people so that they contribute money every Sunday, okay? What there is, though, is the lower astral plane, which looks like hell because it's very negative, filled with prixies and trolls and Darth Vader and people like that, but you can get out of it. By definition, hell is eternal. Which, of course, it isn't. By the way, in my book, on my Egypt book, I talk about the origin of hell. It was actually made up and created by the mystery school priests in about 3100 BC when Egypt, as the first state, as I call it, was unified from Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt. So mm-hmm. The mystery school priests, they had like 1,000 gods, so another god wouldn't really help people because they say that's not going to scare them. So they created Apophis, the god which was a serpent who was trying to gobble, he was the god of the night, trying to gobble up the sun god Ra. And if you eliminate the sun, you know you have no life on this planet. The Egyptians knew that. They were not stupid. They were farmers. So Apophis lived in the fires of hell. That's a quote from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which I document in my Egypt book if your listeners want to see the actual notation to it.
Alisa in Oregon, welcome to the program. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, George. I've got two questions now.
All right.
I had a 8-hour surgery. And when I came to, they told me that they had to resuscitate me twice. Does that mean that it was
Well, it could have been. It depends on the readings on the what the anesthesiologist said. If you flatlined and they said you were clinically dead, which means you're a flatline, okay?
Yeah.
Then that's a near-death experience. You might not have clinically died. You might have been very low on the level, nearly a flatline,
mm-hmm.
almost like a delta brainwave when you're sleeping, when you're like paralyzed. Then you wouldn't have a near-death experience. Now, the way you can tell, though, one of the ways you can tell, one of the characteristics of a near-death experience of survivor is that you have a very interesting spiritual evolution. In other words, your life changes dramatically. A lot of very positive things happen to you that are different in your life than existed before the experience. So if you didn't have any major changes in your life, if you're just going through the usual routines, then that most likely was not a near-death experience, but a regular out-of-body experience, an OBE, not an NDE.
Great comment. Go ahead, Alisa. You had another question.
Yes. 22 roughly soldiers that commit suicide every day. Would you say that they go into the lower plane?
The soldiers who have committed suicide every day.
Oh, okay.
That's
now,
record.
Okay.
Where
right.
do they
well,
go?
The soldiers who anybody who it doesn't have to be a soldier. Anybody who commits suicide. What's going to happen is that there is no hell. But what they do is they go to the lower astral plane, and they're going to spend a lot more time there than the average person. Just about everybody on this planet who's ever died goes to the lower astral plane first. Why? Because people die in fear. Now, you don't have to stay there long, and if you enter the white light, then you go to the upper astral plane where you can connect with your higher self. There's no connection with the higher self on the lower astral plane, which is why you're in a bad neighborhood. So basically, you always want to get out of that, and that's why the conscious out-of-body experience technique that I developed many years ago is meant to help people to eliminate the lower astral plane experience. So there is no hell. It's not permanent. But it's not a fun place, and you want to not go there or get out of there as quickly as possible.
Bruce, take a minute to tell people your offer on your website.
Sure. Okay. If you buy my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, from my site, not from any bookstore, you get the free Fifth Dimensional Travel CD, which will guide you into the fifth dimension. Now, if you don't want to buy the book, but you want to experience out-of-body experiences, and if you don't have a computer, because the fifth dimensional travel technique is on my website, if you don't have a computer, then call my toll-free number, 1-800-KARMA-4U, that's K-A-R-M-A, the number 4, the letter U, or 1-800-527-6248, and I will send you the free written exercise, not a CD, and information about the books and CDs. But everything is on the website. There also are videos on there about Jerry Springer's past life that I have on there, about a time traveler contactee, people going to past and future lives, removing a psychic attack on TV. All that's on the site, a lot of articles, and also audiobooks. Amazon also carries my audiobooks. By the way, I do have 21 books published in 21 languages. This is a benefit for your international audience.
Yep.
Just this year, my book, Past Life, Future Lives, is in Latvian and Vietnamese.
Wow.
And self-hypnosis is in Arabic.
Good for you, Marhaba. That's part of the Arabic for saying hello. We're going to come back and talk about psychic empowerment with Dr. Bruce Goldberg and also take your final calls. On our next Coast to Coast program, Freddie Silva joins us for the first couple hours as we talk about his latest work, The Missing Lands, Uncovering Earth's Pre-Flood Civilization. And then later on, James Templeton joins us to talk about how he used to have cancer. It's an amazing story, so make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast program. And welcome back, our final segment with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Bruce, what exactly is psychic empowerment?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, psychic empowerment, the empowerment part means taking charge of your life, and the psychic part is using your subconscious connection to the higher self or superconscious mind to make that connection. So that's what I call psychic empowerment. I want to discuss just a couple of things first. There are some behaviors that we as living beings can do to facilitate our spiritual growth and ensure our healing by using these various techniques and things that we discussed tonight. So let me give you some examples.
Sure.
Number one, Be loving, unselfish, and kind. Love is the most important quality in the universe. Be a giver. Eliminate the tendency to take from others. Live a more simple and quality life. Decrease the attachment to material possessions. Enjoy them all you want, but be willing to lose them without envy, resentment, anger, or any other negative emotional responses. Be empowered, as we talked about psychic empowerment. You may want certain things out of life, but never be needy. There's a big difference. Be God-oriented instead of world-oriented. And basically, we must all be big enough to admit our mistakes, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them. That's my definition of empowerment.
To the phones now we go. East of the Rockies, Charlie's in Austin, Texas. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, how are you? I had a question for Bruce.
Okay.
Hey, Bruce, I was wondering, when we plan our lives in, you know, in the source, we'll plan our lives, how detailed do we get? Do we plan how many breaths?
No, Charlie, that's a very good question. That's an excellent question because I'm going to differentiate that from predestination. When you're on the soul plane, there are soul plane entities that assist us. They look like floating heads. They're very strange looking. Then you have your higher self, your superconscious mind, the perfect part of your soul, and then you have your spirit guides. Now, when you plan your life, what you do is you choose the body in which you're going to be born into. And the people that are on the earth plane, the parents, let's say, and other relatives, they can actually blackball you and make it impossible for you to be there. But let's assume everybody improves it. Now, what you do is you plan the major episodes of your life, not all the details. In other words, you always have free will. So you plan maybe you're going to go to school or maybe you're going to be a certain race or a certain gender, whatever. You plan those. But then as you go day by day into your life, there's always a choice that you make, whether you do something or not. And if you do something or not, then there's a tree branch effect of the results from your decision. So it's not a predestination, but it's more of a global assessment and laying out the planning of the various options that you're going to have in your new life or your incarnation.
Well done. Next up, we've got Richard in Bakersfield, California. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, thank you, George, for taking the call.
Thank you, Rich.
I've got this acquaintance. He's a chiropractor, and last time I saw him, he said he had this incurable disease called stiff man's disease that is terminal. Is there any possible hope for him?
Well, like I say, any terminal disease, it's a low percentage situation, but that's why I do the etheric plane surgery, by accessing, connecting him to not just his higher self, but also to taking him to the etheric plane where the surgeons there can work on him in his etheric body and then doing the transfer from the etheric body to the physical. Yes, it's possible, but I must reiterate, it's a low percentage. When it works great. But I can't guarantee anything, and I can't tell you what the numbers are because I don't know until I do it.
Bruce, since you've been doing this and you were in dentistry, how dramatic was that move for you?
Actually, not at all, because now I drill into the past and future. Okay, that's a joke. Actually, it wasn't because I was. Remember, you were in a pre-dental program, so you
yes,
know.
Yes, I was for 2 years.
We're colleagues, George. Okay, all right.
Yeah, but you were the actual dentist.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's true. But okay. But you're the radio personality. Okay. So, and a very good friend. Basically, it wasn't because I was using hypnosis for pain control and apprehension. So I had the medical use. And then because I was developing into more of a new ager with my metaphysician aspect, it really wasn't as difficult as you might think it would have been. I had separate practices, and I only practiced dentistry full-time for 2 years. I had a part-time hypnotherapy practice, which I immediately made full-time. And then, as we say, the rest is history, thanks to television, radio, books, and a lot of very nice people in my life that I've met, I was able to be – I don't think the country, the United States, needed another dentist, you know, but I think they needed another metaphysician.
Absolutely. Chris in Reno, Nevada, welcome to the show. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, George, I just want to start out by saying thank you so much for all that you do. Been listening to you since I was a little boy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. I just had one question. I was curious about what are the best ways to access the fifth dimension?
Well, okay.
Good question.
It's actually a very simple technique. If you order my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, you'll get a fifth dimensional travel CD, which will automatically take you into the fifth dimension. Any form of hypnosis can do that, but the techniques that I use in that CD, as well as my astral voyaging program and all the other out-of-body techniques I have, are specifically designed to have you to have conscious memories of your out-of-body experience.
And to do it yourself, right?
Now, see, when you go to sleep and you dream, most people don't remember their dreams. You dream for 3 hours a night. I guarantee you, I'm an expert in this field for 45 years. I can't remember 3 hours of dreams every night, but everybody dreams for 3 hours. These are studies.
Sometimes you can't remember any dream.
Well, most time people don't, and actually you probably don't want to remember them because most people go to the lower astral plane every night, so they don't really remember that anyway. But my point is that by using these techniques, especially accessing the higher self, which is your guide to the fifth dimension, so you can become an ultra-terrestrial, that's the simplest way to do it. I would suggest you get the fifth dimensional travel technique, which comes free with, if you order the book, the Exploring the Fifth Dimension from my homepage. And you'll just press a play button, put some headphones on, and enjoy the trip.
What has been for you the most fantastic teleportation story you've heard? For me, it's that cab driver.
Well, I know it's you, the cab driver. To me, it's one that's more documented. It's the cab. It's the case of that occurred in Mexico City 500 years ago, where this man all of a sudden teleported into the city square. He teleported there, and he was dressed in a Spanish uniform with a Spanish gun, which in those days was very different than the Mexican gun and Mexican uniform. They thought he said, "Oh, I'm upset. I couldn't save the governor. The governor was murdered, and I was one of the guards." And they said, "From where?" He said, "Mexico, Manila, Philippines." He said, "That's 9,000 miles away." So they thought he was crazy. They put him in jail. They interrogated him, as well as the Catholic Church. They sent a priest to exorcise him. Remember, this is 500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of months later, this was October. It's October 23rd of 1593. 2 months later, it's Christmas time. The ship from Manila, because Spain owned, you know, the Philippines and Spain and Mexico in those days, the ship came around to make their usual trips. And a guy goes, he goes to the authorities, and he says, "We're going to give you the news of what happened. The governor was murdered 2 months ago." And they said, "Really? We got a guy in jail who says he was a guard." They take him to the jail, and he says, "That's the guard."
That's
him. You recognize him, okay? So his name was Gil Perez, and he was documented. He was released to go on the ship to go back to the Manila. So this is the most documented case of teleportation 500 years ago. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't go from Manila to Mexico City, which is 9,000 miles away, in a matter of 12 hours because he teleported back in time. When you teleport, you could actually do time travel too. You don't do that. There were no jets in those days. It was simply a matter of ship travel. That was an example of documentation of teleportation by the historians and by the Catholic Church.
Next up, Lewis is our first-time caller in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Lewis. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Everything's good. Yeah. Hope you are,
very
too.
Very interesting tonight. So I just want to tell you a quick story that happened to me back in 2003. My sister asked me to do her a favor because her boyfriend was a limousine driver. I was a very successful stockbroker at the time, and I didn't need to do this quick job, but I said, you know what, I'll do it. So I grabbed a friend, and we took an elderly couple to Atlantic City from Brooklyn, and our goal was, it was New Year's Eve, our goal was to just go there, drop the couple off, hit them hard, make some money, and then and go party like rock stars at the time. And that's exactly what happened. And my buddy never won a dollar in his life in a casino. So we went to the casino, we dropped them off, we won money. On our way back from Atlantic City, I was driving, I was probably cruising probably like 80 miles an hour in a limo. A kid tried to cross the highway on a bicycle.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe it. So I swerved out of the way. The next thing I know, the car is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And we were crunching up, and we were upside down. I had no idea. I shook my friend. He woke up, like, frantically. And we scuttled upside down out of the back window. It's a true story. And then we went to the hospital. The next thing I know, we spent the evening in the hospital. And my sister came, you know, like with friends to go, you know, retrieve our belongings. And the car was demolished. You would never think that anybody could walk out of it. But on the police report, the mile marker where the skid started was 666. On the Garden State Express. And not only that, because back then I had a cell phone. They found a cell phone right by the gas pedal with the ceramic angel that was there from a past funeral that a woman was trying to retrieve for like weeks.
Wow.
This is where, and I have the ceramic angel.
What a story.
Well, this is an example of a spirit guide, I'm sure, in connection. By the way, years ago, when my book, Look Younger, Live Longer, was released, I was doing a book signing in Barnes & Noble in New York City, you know, the headquarters, the main...
The big one.
Big one, yes, the big baby. You know what the address is? 666 Fifth Avenue.
God, and you went in there?
I went in there and did a really nice talk, and I should have done the talk on Protected by the Light. About
how did the book do? Did the book sell well?
The book did very well. They were very nice to me. That's a beautiful store. That place is
just... The 666 didn't get you.
No, it didn't get me, and nobody came to me and tried to tempt me into going to the lower astral plane either. So it was, but the number 666 comes up a lot. It's a biggie, you know. But that's a very interesting. You notice how we described how the car got smaller and smaller.
Uh huh.
Remember that? That's an example of the teleportation aspect. You're going into the fifth dimension. You go into the fifth dimension. Everything seems a little weird, and kind of like, you know, it's not the experience that you normally would experience. When you do this, sometimes you get a feeling of a tightness across the eyebrows. Your perception is distorted, and you appear as if you're looking through a keyhole. That's what teleportation does. It's a very unusual experience, but it's perfectly safe, as is all of out-of-body experiences. For the benefit of your listeners, we're talking about out-of-body experiences, fifth-dimensional healing. I've been out of the body over 3,000 times, and I'm speaking to you from the earth plane, not the astral plane. Perfectly safe. Never have a fear about going out of the body.
Who does the saving when you do this fifth-dimension shuffling? Who is it that's doing it for us?
Well, it's there. We're just entering into a dimension. So if you go to the astral plane versus the causal, mental, etheric, or soul plane, you're like going to it when you travel from St. Louis to Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
St. Louis doesn't disappear when you leave. It's still there, right? You return, right? So it's you're just there. Now, the only difference is that when you're in the fifth dimension, you can create much of your reality. So if you want to have blue breath coming out of your face, or if you want to teleport or fly, you can do that. You can't do that on the earth plane. So the physical laws are very different. They don't have the physical laws as we know it. But there are limitations. For example, one of your listeners actually asked me this. He says, why can't I just go to the astral plane and blow it up and nuke it? You know, you can't do that, okay?
No, not a good idea.
There are laws that there are specific. There are laws a little different than ours, but there are laws of survival there that you just can't destroy the dimension just because you have a bad hair day, you know.
What's new for Dr. Bruce Goldberg?
Well, I am going to continue seeing my patients and doing more interviews and public speaking, things like that, and hopefully working with you again, both radio and TV.
Always.
And enjoying life, playing tennis. This is my favorite time of the year, watching my Yankees play. And just relaxing with my dog, Karma, by the way. She's still doing her thing. My lovely 18-pound black female miniature schnauzer who loves everyone.
And all your books still available, Bruce?
Oh, yes. Everything is available. You can, you can go to my site has, of course, my books for the Get the Free CD. But they go on Amazon. There's Audible books. There's about 18 of my books are in Audible on Amazon. All my books are on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. They can all order it. So, but again, if you get it from my site, you get a lot of the freebies on there. And there's certain notices on the homepage to show you how the suggestions work. The only thing I ask you is mention Coast to Coast when you place your order so you get the free CD.
Now, how long does the shipping take when they go to the site?
With me, it depends on where they are. You know, if they're in California, it's like 1 or 2 days. If they're across the country, if they want priority, it's maybe 2 days or 3 days at the most. Basically, this offer, by the way, is good forever. Every parallel universe, even beyond the show's airing, I will always, as long as you mention Coast to Coast and you mention you want the exploring book, you'll always get the free fifth dimensional travel CD.
Super. Bruce, thanks again. Keep in touch.
My pleasure.
Dr. Bruce Goldberg website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And as I mentioned earlier, on our next Coast to Coast program, Freddie Silva joins us to talk about some amazing things going on this planet. And then later on, an incredible story from James Templeton, who was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. And he's still here to talk about how he beat it. It's an incredible story. So make sure you're part of Coast to Coast. And we've got great shows for you for the entire week. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then. Be safe, everyone.